Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. LeBron James, as he goes for Kareem's record, says he is locked in on the roster the Lakers have. Will that be the roster they have at the end of the week? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always going to be free for you. It is never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube, over 11,000 subscribers strong, many of whom are really frustrated with this whole Kyrie Irving trade deadline thing and want the Lakers to be doing something. But that is where you can go to see the show. You can participate in that community. Talk to us. We talk back to you. And it's just a fun community of places to be. Andy, along those lines, in the Department of YouTube promoted corrections and retractions, what should be noted by a couple people that I referred to Jared Vanderbilt as Dorian Finney-Smith as an up-and-coming wing defender. That is not really fair. He's 29, so a couple people pointed that out to me. I thought he was 26. So thank you. That was relevant information that I got wrong, so I appreciate it.
It underscores why Brooklyn was more interested ultimately in the Dallas package versus the Lakers package beyond just, you know, spite.
Mm-hmm. Although, please, yeah. Don't underestimate the power.
No, it was one of those things that worked out perfect for Joe Tsai in that Dallas had the best package for what they are looking for right now, and it gave him the best cover for giving Kyrie Irving and by extension, really, the Lakers were just sort of shrapnel here, the finger. Mm. It really tidy had nothing to do.
Tidy little Sunday for Joe Tsai.
Yeah, it was one of those rare times where another team took something out on the Lakers for reasons that really had nothing to do with the Lakers.
So we will get to the LeBron James comments that I mentioned in the open there. In a second, we will exhaustively look through some of the other trade options. Andy Kamenetsky has been scouring rosters and rumors for potential players that could end up on the Lakers by the end of the week. But first, Andy, a little bit of housekeeping. Austin Reeves, this was the big news out of practice, says he's feeling great. This is practice on Monday, I should say, and El Segundo says he's feeling great. He has listed himself as probable for Tuesday's game against Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it's awesome news, man. They miss Austin Reeves. They need him back, particularly, you know, this two steps forward, two steps back period that they've had where every time it seems like they're starting to gain some momentum, you know, they crap the bed against Team X or somebody gets hurt or whatever. You know, Austin Reeves is a really important part of the Lakers in the best version of themselves. You know, there's been a lot of consternation about the Lakers closing lineups and Darvin Ham's proclivity for that three guard lineup in closing looks with Schroeder, Beverly, Russ. And I don't know for sure how things will look moving forward, but with Reeves back, I am pretty confident that most closing lineups will feature LeBron, AD, Reeves, Schroeder, and then a fifth Laker who could be Russ, could be Patrick Beverly, could be Troy Brown Jr., could be Rui Hachimura. Those four, LeBron, AD, Schroeder, and Reeves, will be the constants. And that, to me, speaks to, you know, not just the stability that Reeves can provide and the, you know, the predictability and trustworthiness, but also the versatility. Mm-hmm. Like, you can plug him into any group, any grouping, in similar ways that during the championship year, you could do that with Caruso. You could do that with KCP. I think to a lesser degree, you could do it with Markieff Morris. You know, like, guys that give you different optionality and they're just predictable. They're reliable that way.
And, I mean, critically here too, Andy, I mean, they're down to Tuesday's game. is leaves, you know, they have 28 left counting Tuesday's game at the Crypt against Oklahoma City. It's like beyond even just the literal impact that he has. It's like they need everyone back because they have to win games. Like they, and you know, Austin Reeves can help them do that. He is not a superstar. He is not, you know, an all-star, but he, well, tried as people might to vote him into that thing, but he is somebody who I think, like you're talking about there, aligns the rotation in better ways and provides them with stuff that they need. He's one of their better players. They need him in the lineup because they only have 28 games left. That's it. We are under 30 games left in the regular season, which to me is kind of crazy. But that's where it is.
And it's equally crazy that the Lakers are still kind of in this thing. They have, for those keeping score at home, they are currently four games below 500. They have not been above 500 this entire season. And the only time they've been 500 this whole year was the first game when things began 0-0.
Yes.
That's it.
And despite that, they are only four games behind the Clippers for the four seed in the Western Conference. And like, if okay, you say four games, that's too many or whatever, that's a lot to jump over. They're only three behind Dallas for the six. You know, they're three and a half behind Phoenix for the five. It's like, it's like these numbers are insane. You win 7 of 9, you could jump up eight seeds in the West. The Lakers, you say, haven't been 500 this season. Andy, they haven't been 500 since I believe 24-24 last year. So it has been a moment since the Lakers were a 500 team when games had been played in a season. But it was interesting. Like LeBron James, who on Sunday tweeted out after the news broke that Kyrie would be going to the Mavericks, which is still a trade in progress. It looks a little bit like as we record on Monday that maybe perhaps even Toronto could be routed into this deal somehow, which obviously impacts the Lakers, but we'll see how that goes. Doesn't look like Kyrie's coming here. He started with,
you don't think they're going to look to maybe reroute Russ? Dallas, and then yeah. Dallas last minute, they're going to change their mind, send Kyrie to the Lakers.
I've been wrong before. I'm not counting on it. I've been wrong before, but no, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
And that's the type of analysis that got us 11,000 subscribers on YouTube. So LeBron put out the poll like, hey, you know, hey, maybe it's me. Am I the problem? By the way, 58% as we update the poll say no. But so most fans don't think it is you, LeBron. Yeah, but
you know what? 42% I think is enough that at least LeBron should take a look in the mirror. I mean, he ought to at least be thinking a little bit like, is it a little bit me?
Yeah, maybe it is. He told Michael Wilbon on Monday. I mean, LeBron did the, you know, in 24 hours, he did the sad stuff, and then he, you know, admitted to Wilbon that he was disappointed, but he also said that this team, he believes, if everybody is healthy and they, you know, catch some breaks, whatever, can compete for a title. He had some other things that he said to Wilbon in that interview, which are highly relevant to where the Lakers are going, and we will get to that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for an awesome tasting treat, but you don't want all the fat and the calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. Like everybody, myself included, you're still dealing with the damage that you do during the holidays with the eating, beginning around Thanksgiving and ending around whatever today's date is. And you got to try to offset this. But at the same time, it's like you don't want to compromise taste because that's why you eat in the first place. And that is what makes Built Bars perfect for this mission. Built Bars, healthy, actually tastes great. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution or just the idea of getting back into shape. As always, covered in 100% real chocolate. Unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. They taste like a candy bar, deceptively, but only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein. The protein's what you want. And now you don't even have to wait around for a box. You can still go to built.com if you want to have your order shipped to you. Great option, but you can also go to your local Walmart, go to the pharmacy section, pick up some there, go to a Sam's Club, go by either spot. You can pick up a box of assorted flavors. Built Bars, enjoy.
Okay, so LeBron admitted to Wilbon that he was disappointed in the results of the Kyrie Irving quick, very fast sweepstakes, Andy. And you know, that was apparent in the poll that he put out. You know, the tweet that he put out.
We put out polls about LeBron. LeBron just tweets.
He then, though, told Wilbon that, quote, "My focus has shifted back to where it should be, and that's this club and what we have in the locker room. That's a quick pivot. It don't take me long. I don't get too excited about the possibilities of things that can be. I kind of envision myself on what it can, but I don't invest all the way until I know it's happening. And when it doesn't happen, I'm back, locked into the job at hand. We had an opportunity. Our names were out there. The Lakers' name was out there. We had an opportunity. It didn't happen, and we move on, and we finish the season strong." So that's LeBron again talking to Michael Wilbon for ESPN. So that is about as good of an answer, I think, as the Lakers as an organization could hope to hear from LeBron. Yes, I was disappointed. He'd be lying if he wasn't. No one would believe him anyway. And then turn around and say, okay, you know, we were out there. Our name was there. That to me says, like, I think he accepts the Lakers tried and just didn't get it done. Couldn't get it done. I think that is a good response if you are the Lakers front office hoping to avoid drama.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to take LeBron at his word for this. I mean, the Lakers, by multiple accounts, made serious offers for Kyrie Irving. Like, whether they were unwilling to put, or apparently they were unwilling to put, two first round picks and Austin Reeves, who, by the way, at practice, saying that he'd be available, also noted that it felt pretty good to him that reportedly the Lakers did not want to include him in a deal, and that he's very happy about that. He wants to be a part of this organization moving forward. But anyway, two first round picks and Austin Reeves and Max Christie and pick swaps. And on top of it, you would need to wink, wink, commit to Kyrie for 4 years after this season. If LeBron is unhappy about that, to be totally honest, LeBron's being unreasonable. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain amount of unreasonableness that is just baked into dealing with superstars. And sometimes you have to, accommodate superstars being unreasonable. That would be too unreasonable to accommodate. So I'm honestly willing to take LeBron at his word that he recognizes. Also, he's smart enough to see what Brooklyn ultimately wanted in this deal and that what they got.
The rapidly aging Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, I mean, what they got ultimately isn't what the Lakers could offer. But if he can't accept that, at some point the Lakers can't worry about it.
Yeah, I think, though, there's two signals that are being sent here. There's the first one, which is, I am at the very least okay publicly, because remember last year on the deadline there was some, hey, no speaking for me, Rob Pelinka, at the trade deadline.
Remember, we're all first cool season with the Lakers when he, without coming out and saying, trade these dumbass kids and get me Anthony Davis, what the F is the problem, what the F has taken so long, he made it really clear, trade these dumbass kids, what the F has taken so long. And it was, and we were around that team on a daily basis. It was disruptive.
And, last year there was the whole thing where, Pelinka gets out after the deadline. Everybody is aligned within the team clutch is like, yeah, let's not be speaking for us.
That was Rob's fault.
Yeah, it was. That was Rob stepping in. But here in this particular case, it seems like that they got the sort of the response they needed. But it was interesting when LeBron said, because the pressure was still, he still laid it on them, like, go out and get us something. Because he's like, as constructed, I think we can go compete, for a title, for a championship, guys are healthy, whatever. The subtext of that is we are a good team, continue to provide us help. And so, I think, losing out on Kyrie, if you want to call it losing out, some people do, some people don't. Not winning the Kyrie sweepstakes puts the Lakers back on a path, like we talked for Monday's show, around supporting players. It is a non-star path where you're looking at guys who can add depth to the rotation and make the group better to enhance LeBron and AD. I still think that they are going to find something that they can do this week. It's not going to be for a star, but I do think it will be a trade. I do think they will do something. I don't think it's going to be for Russ, because I don't think Russ is movable in this market, because there aren't enough sort of contracts to cobble together, unless maybe you do something, I guess, with Toronto. It seems to be the real deadline outlet, I think, for Russ.
Well, I mean, we'll get into this. I think there are a few teams that maybe constitute possibilities. You know, I think there could be possibilities with Utah. I think maybe there could be possibilities with San Antonio. I mean, what you need ultimately, though, with Russ, which makes it complicated, is unless you're going to get multiple teams involved, you need a team that can shed multiple contracts at once.
Correct.
Just to match his salary. So you need a team that is willing to move 2 to 3 players minimum in order to make this work with Russ. And that is difficult at a time when, frankly, it doesn't seem like there are that many teams looking to deal to begin with. I mean, we've talked so many times in the West, it's only a couple teams that are definitively out of it.
Yeah. So
the East has possibilities too that way.
I'll ask you the question though. How many decent players do you think the Lakers are, assuming guys stay healthy? LeBron is healthy, gets a little bit of rest in the All-Star break, AD gets some rest or whatever. You know, that core surrounded by 2 more solid rotation pieces? Is it 3 more solid rotation pieces? You know, how accurate do you think LeBron's characterization is that they could make a little bit of noise and do some stuff in the playoffs? As is, I don't buy it, but with help, what do you think?
I think if they added 1 or 2 more quality rotation players, I think they start looking more formidable. When basically the weakest links in the chain right now, you start playing little to none. And, you know, you all of a sudden start looking more legitimately deep 1 through 5, 1 through 6, then all of a sudden the 7 through 9 guys who before were your 3 to 6, they start becoming less impactful. You know, like when you start bringing in guys that even if they're role players, they're elite role players or pretty close to elite role players, like guys that really bring the high end of the 1 or 2 things that they do extremely well, particularly if it's either shooting or some degree of defense. Yeah, I don't know if I would say the Lakers are front runners, much less strong contenders, but I do think they all of a sudden become a more legitimate version of the best selves. I mean, truth be told, the biggest problem we've seen with this team is they can't close games.
Right.
Like they could have probably 5 or 6 more wins this season if they just knew how to close. Think if they had 2 better closing options.
Well, court. In the reality is, and we'll get to your list here next, is just like in hindsight, and look, it is pretty clear now, like, ooh, you know, Miles Turner on this team, Buddy Hield, the way he's shooting, like it would look really good. You were there. I was mostly there, but you were really, really there. But it wasn't even, I was sort of there with like the idea that I didn't think Turner would be as good as he's been this year. And Hield has really bounced back in a way that exceeded certainly what you thought he'd be able to contribute.
Oh, absolutely. So,
like, this has been a mocking kind of season from both of them in the sense that they've both been really good, in ways that probably weren't, you know, easily anticipated, but to finish here. That looks in hindsight very much like a trade that if you'd known the team with the way the Lakers would be playing, if you'd known the way they'd be responding to stuff, if you knew that Turner was going to stay healthy, if you knew he'll, like, you say, okay, that's probably as good as we're going to do. But, you know, hindsight, that's why they call it that.
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I did think it was the best they were going to do, which is why I thought they should have made the trade in the first place. But also, too, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying this about you. I'm talking about the front office. I think it speaks to a lack of imagination when it comes to impact from players that aren't stars. I think this front office has a difficult time really really getting excited at the prospect of what high-end, you know, B-plus players, A-minus guys within their specific lane can do.
Yeah, and especially once you have the right sort of setup of role guys and you can slot guys into what they ought to be doing best. All right, let's take a look at your list and see where the Lakers might go from here, what names are out there, and what sounds appealing. So that's next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. Laker fans, if you haven't signed up for Prize Picks, you are missing out on daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator, superstar players, bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players and whether they will notch more or less than their Prize Picks stats projection, you can win up to 25 times your money. And they offer projections on everything from NFL to women's college basketball, even disc golf. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. They offer safe, fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Sign up, play daily fantasy sports, and first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Don't forget, again, use that promo code Locked On for that instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you do not know what you're missing.
All right, Andy. How you want to do this? You want to bust out the list? Do you have a, you know, how, is there an order you want to go in from important to least? How do you want to get down there?
Here are some of the names that I thought were maybe most intriguing that have been either linked to the Lakers or we've discussed before, and just, you know, get some of your reaction to, you know, basically how much you think they would help. Do you think they are worth, you know, at least one unprotected first, if you like the idea of these guys, potentially some of them becoming part of the team next season, all of that. Begin with the Pacers and Buddy Hield. Now, I guess, as a solo acquisition, picturing something like Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker, unprotected first. Would you be as into that as it had been with Miles Turner as part of the equation?
Well, no, but...
And he'd be under contract for next season.
Right. Here's the thing about Buddy Hield is, you know, the part of what made Hield so, like, for me, and I was a bigger fan of the Hield part of this than you were.
Yep.
Was the presence of Turner. It's like, okay, you can get away with Buddy Hield as one of your sort of wing defender types when you have Miles Turner and Anthony Davis in your back line. that covers a lot of sins. They do not have that at this point. But the other thing that would cover a lot of their sins is the Buddy Hield's high volume 3-point shooting and legitimate gravity. Because the Lakers not only have sort of backslid on the 3-point shooting in terms of percentage, they also find themselves behind the 8-ball from game to game frequently, even when they're making a decent percentage. They don't make very many 3-pointers. And so it is such a hole in their offense that I think if they were to make the playoffs, would make them much easier to defend, to not have that ability to really, you know, to stretch the floor in any meaningful way. And really the only reason the percentage hasn't completely cratered is because LeBron is actually starting to shoot the ball well again. I would do that.
Yeah, it would be interesting with Hield. I think also to the idea of whether or not he can close games, like whether you trust him enough defensively. If you did, you know, what it potentially does to the future with Hachimura on the team, just because you all of a sudden start having kind of a forward glut and guys who are at least similar in
size. Wouldn't
that
be weird?
Yeah. Season of extremes.
I'm going to have to go back and think about all these things, but my initial gut reaction was, a first round for Buddy Hield probably feels like what the market is for a guy like that.
Yeah. Next team. And I preface this by saying, as we talked about before, with the expanded possibilities for the Kyrie deal, they could involve Toronto, could involve at least one of the players that I'm bringing up. By the time you listen to this, who knows, maybe it's happened, but for the time being, as a thought exercise, either or both Gary Trent Jr. or Fred VanVleet, solo, you know, individually, I think they would both be Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker, at least one unprotected first. In theory, I suppose you could have some type of configuration where you get both, where it's Russ, maybe Max Christie thrown in there for Trent, Van Vliet, some filler that maybe is right. Thaddeus Young.
The big thing from the Lakers standpoint is that is a 2 first-round pick.
Oh, absolutely. Also, for what it's worth, Fred Van Vliet is expected to sign with Clutch soon. That's the big rumor.
There you go.
For better or for worse, or maybe both, in terms of if you want this to happen, navigating the way. But
yes,
how would you feel about that?
Absolutely would do that.
Either one? Both?
Both. I would, if I could do 2 first-round, I think each guy is worth a first rounder in, you know, again, the way it seems like the market is, you're not going to do, but you could only get one of them as a free agent. Like, you know, there's a 0% chance you could acquire two guys like that. You know, so, you know, can you add two players who are of that quality? Yeah. I mean, are they flawed? Sure. Trent, but you know, Trent is a good defender. Actually would, you know, young them up a little bit. He's not, you know, he's not an old player at all. Van Vliet is, you know, got some real injury issues and all that, but is an excellent player. And if he's your third best player, which he'd be on this team, that I think offers you a lot of flexibility, both in terms of keeping him healthy, but also in terms of what you need from him. He's going to cost you some money though. You know, it's an expensive roster, but hey, you know, this is the world we live in. I would do that. I just don't think you can turn those two picks into more value than that. I think if you would do Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, you would do Gary Trent. And I mean, Turner is having a better season than all of these guys, but he's also, you know, before the year started, Miles Turner wasn't this guy. And maybe next year he gets hurt again. I don't know, but like this has been the best year he's ever had. So, you know, that makes a difference. That is worth noting.
Yeah, absolutely. Next team would be Utah. Chris Haynes from Bleacher Report recently reported that there has been some conversation between the Jazz and the Lakers, and this would be a Russell Westbrook deal because, A, Patrick Beverley cannot be traded to the Jazz because the Lakers just acquired him from the Jazz and the THT.
And they also specifically said no givebacks.
It's more league rules, but either way. and also, Utah has enough potential spare players that they are one of the teams that you could think about absorbing Russell Westbrook's salary. The combinations could be something like Russ and Damian Jones for Mike Conley Jr., Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, Conley, Beasley, Gay, Conley, Beasley, Kelly Olynyk. You could theoretically go Jordan Clarkson, Beasley, Gay, Conley, Clarkson, Vanderbilt. You are likely, I think, in this scenario, giving up both of the picks.
I read today that there's an offer
both fully unprotected, but you're likely giving up both. Yeah.
I read today there's an offer some Western Conference team has made for Vanderbilt for multiple second rounders. Like, you see different incarnations, but if you're starting to pile up those guys, Utah has said that they want first rounders for all of them. Whether they'll get first rounders for all of them obviously is a completely different issue. Vanderbilt to me is super intriguing because he really is a negative offensive player, but is a very good defensive player. And so it's like, on the one hand, he provides the Lakers with some utility that they really would need. It's like a wing stopper kind of guy who could take a lot of pressure off LeBron and the defense generally, but creates a hole in your offense that you'd have to be able to fill in other ways. I love Kelly Olynyk. I think he's an incredibly just versatile player who does good things on good teams. Just a smart player, you know, aside from when he ripped off Kevin Love's arm.
Dirty white boy.
Yeah, that was cool. But he's just a good player. And I think he would improve the Lakers and he would improve their front court. Beasley is the kind of, you know, 2-3 that they could use, who can shoot. He's a better version of Lonnie Walker in a lot of ways. I don't think that's going to excite him. I'm not huge on Conley. He's getting a little long in the tooth these days, but I don't think this is a trade that excites a lot of people. But if you're somebody who believes that like the Lakers would benefit from having 3 or 4 good players on the roster, this is a good way to get 3 or 4 good players. I don't know. I don't love the 2 first-rounders. This is the one that makes you go, you're like,
It's funny you say this. To me, all of the different Utah incarnations represent basically the baseline of where you're either cool with things or not. Because
you called this the poo-poo platter earlier in the year.
I did call it the poo-poo platter. And while I did remind people, the poo-poo platter in terms of the food itself, actually pretty good. Like there's a lot on the poo-poo platter. Nice variety.
Yes.
Taste,
but that's not what fine. That is not what you meant.
Right. Well, no. I mean, it's unfortunate that it happens to be poo-poo. It's spelled P-U-P-U as opposed to P-O-O-P-O-O. But like the poo-poo platter is, it works. It's nothing necessarily to get excited about for your meal.
I tell you what, the one of the biggest values of that deal, and I'm not sure it's worth two first rounders to have this though, is the, if again, you are breaking up Westbrook into potentially, and I don't know, again, contract statuses, who's a free agent, who's not, who's an option, who's not, whatever. But let's just say these are players you keep going forward. I think Clarkson is somebody who's a free agent.
He has a player option that in the beginning of the year, I thought he'd be opting into. I think it's about 14.
Not the way he's playing now. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing he's going to opt out.
But, you know, so plus I love the, it's conceptually, I love the idea of having JC back in LA. It chops the probably one of the best benefits of a deal like this, assuming you can keep the guys and people are under contract or whatever, is it restores financial roster balance to where you have pieces at 8 million, 10 million, 12 million. Clarkson's probably 22 or 23 next year based on what he's doing. But like you have these steps across your roster where you have the ability to not have to be like, okay, we can either trade Pat Beverly or we can trade Russell Westbrook and there's nothing in between. So that's actually a sort of side benefit of this. Again, I don't know if it's worth two first rounders to do that. You're only two first rounders that you control. But that would, if you believe the roster, you know, the front office could be creative going forward and need pieces that aren't draft picks, this would give them that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bitter beer face with these things, but it's still beer, right? I don't know.
I would not be excited about any of it. Run through a few more. Bogdanovich is going to be out there, assuming Detroit would move him, because there's been some credible scuttlebutt that they're thinking about.
He's worth a first. You can't get him without a first.
Right. Alec Burks. No. Is he worth a first from Detroit?
No, he is not.
Knicks are always going to be connected, you know, like the Cam Reddish, Evan Fournier. I'm not interested in any of that. I believe I speak for you as well. I am not interested in anything Charlotte could be offering, whether Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, Gordon Hayward.
Rozier is signed through like 2068. I don't want that.
No. Jakob Poeltl, I think, is an intriguing question because he's a good player and he's somebody that can maybe serve as a legitimate back line. And if you like the version of Anthony Davis, where he can just be a free safety on like pterodactyl steroids and be the most versatile version of himself. But you have to really be willing to commit to Jakob Poeltl long-term, and he's probably going to be expensive.
My gut answer is yes. I think he's really good. He's an excellent defensive center.
He's going to be at least a first.
Right. He absolutely will cost you. The only thing is the offensive fit. In terms of the amount of time that those guys share the floor, is he enough of a guy who you can move away from 14 feet on a pick and pop or something like that to make it so Anthony Davis doesn't have to primarily play from the perimeter, or that, you know, the lane can get clogged and all that? Because he's not one of these stretch five through, you know, kind of guys who, you know, takes 5 3-pointers a game and something like that. So he's not that dude. If he doesn't impede Davis's or the rest of the team's ability to go downhill and get to the rim, I love Jakob Poeltl as a player. He's an excellent, excellent defender.
And speaking of San Antonio, we'll close here. I remain alive with my prediction that Josh Richardson will eventually end up a Laker. That remains my deadline prediction.
He goes somewhere, and I think ultimately he's the type of guy who can probably be had for second rounders, and that's probably the territory the Lakers are in. At least there's a good chance. All right. So Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. Plenty more to come this week. We didn't even talk about any. LeBron James could break Kareem's record tonight. If they do, obviously we'll talk about that on Wednesday. It'll make Wednesday's show. and deadline stuff. So we'll see everybody next time.